the character of the individual. And here, let me give a scripture out. So I'll read it. Plus we're going to be reading scripture there, and we're going to be reading some others too. But we just bear with me this morning for just a moment, and I'm going to try to bring this message out the way the Lord has given it to me, and I don't have no notes on it. I've been looking and trying to find some other things of where I could maybe use with it, and I haven't, but yet I'm going to just read the scripture, and that's the best thing I know to do anyhow, read the scripture and go from that alone. But here in Matthew chapter 5, and what it's speaking about, starting of the chapter here, you have the Sermon on the Mount. And then you talking about the Beatitude. Now, I look at that as far as the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitude that they're talking about right here is speaking to the Christians. That's what the next 12 verses are speaking on, and even after that, is speaking towards the Christians and what the Christians must do. So the Beatitudes, and I don't call them the Beatitudes. The way I see it is, I look at it as for the Christian, the needs to have a better attitude on life itself. A better attitude. We know the Beatitude is talking about the love of God. It's talking about the Beatitude of the individual believer. But before we can have the love of God in our heart and the Beatitude from the Lord, is that we must be born again. We must be born again from His Word. We don't need to be born again by what somebody else may say or what somebody else may come and pray, because I can come and talk to you all day long, but unless you pray the prayer that you won't pray, the Lord's not going to hear it. So that's where He says, when we come in contact, when we approach the throne of grace, we must come together. We must come as two. We must come as two, three, four. How many we can get together to come and pray for the same thing? And that's for the Lord to use each one of us in His same way. Now we may go and approach it in a different way, but we all are doing the same identical thing. We're going and praying for that prayer request that somebody has. And the prayer request that I have this morning is for Faith Baptist Church and for each and every one of us, you that are here this morning. That is my prayer request. And my prayer request is this, is that each one of us will forget about ourselves, forget about what anybody else may think, but we must put our mind on none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the one that we must think about, that we must realize that we must come to Him, and we must come and not be ashamed of coming to Him. Like over there in Paul writing, Paul was never ashamed of the Lord Jesus, and there's others that wasn't ashamed of Him either. Also, I think Peter was ashamed of Him a few times after. We see where Peter had walked with the Lord and going from place to place, and then when Peter would be separated from the Lord, and then he would get around and be walking with somebody else, Peter, then they would ask Peter, says, "I just saw you a little while ago. Now, I'm paraphrasing a whole lot of this now. And he said, where'd you see me at? He said, I saw you up there walking with somebody and said, it looks like the Lord. It looks like the Messiah. Peter said, no. It won't be. It won't be. It won't be. I won't up there walking with him. It was somebody else. And he was ashamed of it. He was ashamed of it. And why would you think the Lord himself would allow Peter, the rock, the cornerstone that we need to look upon on here and walking in life, that walks in the same life that we are walking in? Why would we think that the Son, the Father, will allow him to come and say, no, that wasn't the Messiah. No, that must have been somebody else. It was me up there walking with somebody, but I promise you, it wasn't the Messiah. It wasn't the one they called Christ. He was ashamed of him. Why was he ashamed of him? Just like for 30 years there of my life, I was ashamed of him. I was ashamed and I was embarrassed of being associated with people that was around him, that spoke his word. Yeah, I'd go to work, and where I'd work at and everything, and then if somebody happened to come in there and started talking about the Lord or started asking me if I'd go to church or something like that, I said, yeah, I found your part. Here it is right here. I'd get my mind off of that and get my mind back on something else. Where I was selling parts at that time. And I said, yeah, I see your part right here. I gotta go and wait a minute. I'll be right back. Let me go over and get it. I'd go over and get the part and everything, and then it'd be in there. But before I got back, man, I'd be toting that part. But before I got back to the counter, and before I laid the part on the counter, I would have the box already open. Time I got to the counter. And when I got to the counter, I had the part already out. And I'd ask him, I said, does this look like what you need? Does this look like it? It may not look exactly like it, but it will still work. Because this is one part on it that you don't need. You don't have no place on it where you can bolt to it. What was I doing? I was getting away from him, bringing him to the conversation. And the conversation that I was backing away from. And I was ashamed of it. I was ashamed. I would say, that's what I was doing. I was ashamed of the Lord. Ashamed of somebody associating me with somebody else that loved the Lord. Now, if you have ever been in that situation, I applaud you. I thank the Lord for you. But you know one thing that I believe, just like he done with Peter, of all the ones that walked with the Lord back then, who did the Lord call upon on the day of Pentecost to preach his words? Who did he call? Called Peter. The one that denied him. Just like Paul. Paul surrendered his life. You never thought that Paul, if Paul ever got saved, you would never thought that Paul would end up being a missionary. You never thought that Paul would end up being the individual that he was. That's the reason he was like that. It's because of what he'd done before. He wasn't one that was where when his mother gave birth to Paul. He wasn't the one where they give birth to him and then they took him to the synagogue and he was there in the synagogue from day one and went to church and heard the gospel and heard the other priests preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to realize some things. People have to realize where they was at one time. In other words, you have to look at your own self and say, I'm lost. I'm lost, God, and I don't know which way to turn, but I need you. I need you. We need to get people lost. We need to get them to be realizing what we're saying about ourselves, where we was once at. Oh yeah, on Saturday, on Friday night, Saturday night, I had a ball when I was a teenager. So did. I'd go out here to what you call a skylark then. I drank up the boot. I'm not proud of it today. But I can go back and I can look on that and where I was then and I can look at where I'm at, where God's brought me to today. I didn't bring myself to this point. God brought me to this point where I'm at today. But where I was at back then, I was in the beer joints and I was out there in the world and doing the worldly things. The Lord didn't put me out there. Who put me out there? I put myself out there. And it won't Satan. I'm not accusing Satan of something he didn't do. Satan did not put me out there. I put my own self out there. Why? Because I was not born again. I didn't know the Lord. I had not even heard his name even called that much then. But I'm so thankful now that I call his name out more than any other name that I know of. Why? Because I'm saved. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm born again. And I'm on the way to heaven. And don't stop. Try to stop me because you ain't going to stop me. Hallelujah. Oh, devil, he's tried. He tried to stop me. Oh, yes. And he's accused me of a whole lot of things. But the Lord comes back and he said, what does he say to me? He said, all you got to do is speak the blood. You just reclaim the blood. And I promise you, he'll flee from you. See, he don't want to have anything to do with the blood. The devil don't. He don't want to have anything to do with the blood. But I want to have everything to do with the blood. I want to be able to proclaim in what he had given for me. And he'd given his life that I may have life. Here in Matthew chapter 5, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he sat, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and he was speaking to the disciples then. This was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must recognize his voice. And we can recognize his voice. You know how we can recognize it? How we can concern it? If it's either the Lord or Satan speaking to us. Because I'm going to tell you. Besides God the Father and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, besides John 3, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the myrrh, that he is. He was the only one. He was the only one out of them four that knew the gospel, that knew what this book said. He knew a whole lot of it. But when he got down to certain portions of what he did know, and he knew by the blood, he skipped over it. He skipped over the blood. That's just like these other translations you got out here. You know, all these other Bibles out here that they got out here that don't have the blood, and they take the blood out of it. Why do they take the blood out? Because it's caused it a bloody religion. Well, hallelujah. I'm so thankful that I can serve a bloody religion, if that's what they want to call it. I mean, they paid me up one side and down the other. Yeah, hey, I'm a bloody religion. You're right, I believe in the blood, and I will complain. I will take it all away with me, all the way home with me. And when Jesus Christ, when he looks at me when I get to heaven, he going to see where some of his blood has been passed on to me. Because what does God say? What does God say when we go to him and we ask him for forgiveness for this and for that, for something we have done? What does God say when we do that? Well, we're not praying to God. We're praying to the Lord Jesus then because of what he done at Calvary for us. And you have God. And here it is, the Lord Jesus. He knows. He knows the scripture from every part of it. He even knows the scripture that's not even written in our books. And there's a whole lot more. This building itself, you could probably put 10 of these buildings this size straight in a row and open them all up, and you they will not be able to handle the word of God that he spoke of that is settled there in heaven. It's more scripture there in heaven to be settled. And you know, one day we're going to be able to look, one day we're going to see what he didn't bring out. Why did he give us that today? And I've asked him. I says, I know it's some scripture that I believe should have been put there. That would have made it a whole lot simpler on me. And simpler on to the people that I'm speaking to. He just said, you just said it right then. Simple. I didn't want the Word of God to just be simple to where if you read, you can take each and every word out of the verse and you can put something else toward the word and thou, and then where you got kingdom that, you can put something else there. He said, no, I didn't want it to be that simple. The reason I didn't want it to be that simple, so you would have to get in there and you would have to pray and you would have to dig out in the Word of God and what the Word of God is speaking in your heart. And I believe that. That's the reason he didn't make it so simple. Oh, yes, he could have made it a whole lot more simple. He didn't make it that simple for Paul. Because wouldn't we have people out here that thinks the reason Paul was talking about the thorn in the side of his flesh and what he was doing, he was complaining then. But what the people was thinking about, you even have preachers today, they're thinking about what went on after that when Paul was almost blind and lost some of his sight and everything, and they used that as a symbol of what Paul had lost. And the reason Paul had turned his life around, that's not the reason Paul turned his life around. That's not the reason Paul went out here to end up being a missionary. And that won't Paul that went out here and preached to the young preachers and to the young pastors. He didn't do it for that reason. You know the reason for it was? He knew all about it. He knew every situation they was going through. Why? Because he'd been through them. And he'd caused a whole lot of situations. I don't believe it was his eyesight. Because really Paul could see just as well then as he could have a little bit before. Because he knew that something had changed in his life. And when he heard the noise that came forth, and it shook the ground around him, and he fell to the ground. He knew it wasn't his blindness, because he was on a road that was clear ahead. Because see, he had some individuals with him already, walking with him. Who were they? Who was the individuals walking with him? They was the one that was leading Paul, because he had his eyes was a little dim, and he couldn't see every little thing that was in front of him. The Lord God provided them other two men, them other men to go with Paul and to catch him if he would. Gonna get, if he was right there in the road and everything, and looked like a rock had just appeared. And they would take Paul and walk him around the rock. And then they'd let go of it, and Paul started back walking on his own again. Then the individual was God. God was using them to be Paul. Paul is a helper at that time. To be Paul's. The Spirit of God was with Paul. The Spirit of God was moving them things out of Paul's way. And the Spirit of God will use people to move the things out of our way. If we would just listen with our heart and listen with our godly mind. We don't have to listen with a mind, but listen with the godly mind that we have, that God has given us. Hey, have you heard about the individuals that can go to the hospital and everything, and they get up in age, and then they end up going to the nursing home, and then their family will come by, and you go over and visit them and see who they are, something like that, and then the family will come to you and start talking to you, and you didn't know what was wrong with them, you just knew they was in the hospital. Well, now they're back up, they're at the nursing home now. The family come. Says, well, they just diagnosed with delusion of mind or whatever, being confused or whatever, Alzheimer's and all of that. And let me ask you something. For how many of them individuals did you know of that was laying in that bed, that served God all our life, and that served God most of our life, and they prayed to God, and they read God's Word? Have you ever heard any of them give up and say, I don't believe God? No. They'd have it at hand. Waving in air. And then, but before they would wave in air, what would they do? And they would get a little towel, a little handkerchief that they have by the bed or tissue, and they'd take it, and they'd do that. They'd do that. And they'd done that all of their life.
And when you see people do that in church then, what was they doing? They were surrendering. They were surrendering everything that they had to the Lord. And how they surrendered everything to the Lord. We don't have many people today who want to surrender anything anymore. And it's because that they think that they got all the time in the world. Just like an individual yesterday that I was talking to. And I asked him, I said, are you in church in a while? He said, why do you go to church every Sunday? He said, if you invite me to go with her every Sunday, I just don't go. He says, but I do believe. And Sergeant told me, I thought, no, I'm not going to go that way. And I told myself, why don't you just come and try. He's all like, dude, just come and try church. Just come and try one Sunday. If you come one Sunday morning, and if you can tell me that you did not enjoy it, you hated everything that went on about the church, and that day, I will tell you, you ain't got to come back. And I'll tell you, you won't have to come back. If you believe that, you won't have to come back, but you are not going to believe that. You're not going to say that. You're going to end up saying, I enjoyed the service today. I enjoyed the message. And how can you tell if you know somebody if they enjoyed something? Do they shake your hand when they're going out the door? Do they? If they do, they're right there's one indication. That's one indication right there. That yes, I really want to surrender, but I'm a friend. What are my friends going to think about me? What are my friends going to think about me when I surrender, when I start coming to church? Well, we must ask them, well, how many friends have you got out there? How many friends have you got out there? And naturally, I called one of them and said, I got right many friends that I went to school with. Got right many friends I used to work with at times. It's not about the friends, how many friends you have. It's about that one and only friend. And that's over there in the book of Proverbs and other places in Scripture. And he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he's a friend that he's gonna be your friend if he knows everything about you. And then he finds out a little more about you. He gonna still be your friend. And he's gonna love you just as much as he loved me. Or somebody else has been saved for 20, 30, or 40 years and been serving God that long. And God loves the sinner right here. And I'm going to say something right here. And you can agree or disagree that, which this is where I feel about that part. I feel like right now, and what I know, in the past and in the present, in my life then and my life today, with his love and what he shared for me, and he shared his love down Calvary for me, and he told me that I was his friend before he went to Calvary. That's over in the book of John, chapter 15, I believe it is. That he considered me as his friend before he was ever hung on the cross.
But even that after he was hung on the cross, he still considered me as his same friend. Then I was part of the cause of him going, had to go to the cross. Today, right now, the way I look at the love of God and the love toward me and toward other individuals, that individual that just drove by church this morning or yesterday or whatever, that may have went out there and had been to the liquor store and bought them a fifth of liquor, and then they went to the convenience mart and bought them a case of beer, and then they come home and thought they were going to watch the football game or races and everything, and they get to drinking, and the next thing you know, here they are over there, and they're abusing their children. Here they are abusing their wife. And they're all hitting the wife. Here they are hitting the children. You know what? As far as any individual is concerned, God's love right here loves them more than it does me. That's what I feel. I know he loves me. I don't have no doubt about that. But with the love that he has for them, can carry me back to the places where I was born once time in shape that I didn't love him. But he loved me. He put me above everything else at that time. That's the way I looked at it. And he's putting that individual right here who was doing all of that yesterday or this morning or whenever, he's putting everything else behind him. And he wants somebody to go and to share his love, not my love. Yes, I love him. I don't love him because of the sin. I don't love him because of that sin. I love him because he is a sinner and he needs to be saved by the grace of God. And as far as it goes, I could be just in the same shape that he's in today. Because God could still told me, he said, Donnie, says, I know that the Holy Spirit spoken to you, and I know your name coming in, and you asking for forgiveness and you want to be saved and all that, but Donnie, I'm not going to save you. I'm sorry you've done so much evil in your lifetime and you can't be saved. God's not going to do that. It's not but one individual. It's not but one individual that he's ever said it to. One individual. And he was right in heaven when God created everything. But yet he wanted to create a little more. He wanted to create something else there. And God says, no. You're not the creator. I'm the creator. I give life and I take life. You take orders from me. He didn't want to do that. And he kicked him out of heaven. When he kicked him out of heaven, he said to himself, he said, he knows what heaven is all about. He was there when I created the majority of the stuff. And he didn't love me then. And he didn't want to help me then to try to maybe do some more work. Oh yeah, Lucifer, he worked for God when he was in heaven. And he worked for God before Lucifer ever turned his ways against God. He done what God asked him to do. That's what we got to do today. Well, preacher, how do you know that God wants me to do that? How do you know that God is speaking to me? If you pray a 5 or 10 minute prayer, you don't know. You may think it's of God. But if you pray, and if you get all the other garbage and everything away from your mind and away from your heart, and then you start thinking about all the blessing and everything since the day that you got saved, you'll come to find out and you'll come to realize, I love Him that much that I need to go there and share it with Him. I need to go there and share it with that man. Because that man, it's him. He's lost. And he's got a family. He's got a wife. He's got 3 kids. And no doubt, probably all of them are lost. And I don't know. But he is supposed to be the head of the household. I need to go to him first. I don't need to go to the lady first. I don't need to go to the children first. I need to go to him. Why? Because God has made him the household. He has made him over the household. And when you make somebody over the household, then what do? You start praying for them. You start asking them for somebody to help them. Because they're in such a way that they don't know what to do. Oh, yes. All the blessings of God. The only way that we can bless God is have a better attitude toward life itself. And we've got to have a better attitude in serving Him. We don't need to second guess anything that we believe that it's the Lord who wants us to do. Because you can decide if you know when it's of the Lord or not. Because if the Lord's speaking to you about praying for somebody, or then you have the Lord, you think it's the Lord speaking to you about. As you're praying about somebody that stood up, just standing home and praying for them, then you have God speak to you and say, I tell you what. You know, I don't think you know where to live, but I got a feeling, I just got a feeling that between me and you, that we can come up with the address. And we come up exactly where they live at. Or where they are today. And you need to go to them. And you need to speak to them face to face. And tell them of all the things that I have done for you. And then the Holy Spirit will come back. Will speak to them. And tell them what all I have done for them. Talking about the Lord. What all the Lord Jesus has done for them. And they don't realize. We start right now. We can just start one individual. I can start with my body right here. And I tell you, I can take it and I can look at the blessings. All the blessings God has performed on me. All the blessings that God has given me. All the blessings that God has showed me through other people that's lived a life before them and before Him. Blessings. How can I be blessed to have a better attitude? If I have a sorry attitude, you think the Lord's going to bless me? Nope. Why? Because I didn't have a different frame of mind. We need to have a different frame of mind. But the frame of mind that we all need is be focused on Him. And He will give us something to do that we have 168 hours in a week's time, in 7 days, 24 hours a day. It's not a time within 168 hours that God cannot come up something for us to do. He will never have a place in there that where He cannot come up with something for me to do. I'm supposed to share His word. How can I share His word? A whole lot of people say that today. They say, you know, when I go to work, I have to go into work and I can't have my little New Testament of the Bible there laid on the desk. I can't even have a prayer written out and having it on my desk anywhere. Because the company says, no, that's not here. That's not church. No, it's not church. But church is supposed to be where we are, where the believer is. And yes, I'm the church. And I'm not embarrassed about being in church. And I'll praise God until the day He takes me home. I'm the church, and I'm going to live by His word. And praise God, unless you want to live with me, I'm sorry. That's what you're going to get from me. You're going to get His word. And may sometime, may like, see, what in the world he's up there just jabbing about? I mean, what he's saying up there now? I mean, it ain't nothing about nothing he said up there. Got any sense to it. You can say it all you want to. Just leave me alone. I'm having a good time. Just leave us all alone. We're just having a good time strolling down the lane that's going to be memory one day. You know, the only memory that we're going to have when we get to heaven, and the only memory that I'm going to have, I'm going to have the memory of praying for the people I am that I've met over time that's lost. I don't want nobody dying to hell. I don't. I mean, I've told someone before, said, hey, I mean, just come to church and try. Just come to church and just try. Just come and sit there and listen with an open mind. Listen with a heart. And if you tell me that no, I can't come because I don't believe it. And I told someone. I said, I'll make this promise with you. I'll make this promise with you. Until next Sunday. Until the time I come next Sunday. We'll be praying in a way of where you will be here. He said, well, I can't come. I'm not going to be in town. I said, I'm going to still be praying. He said, you're going to be in church somewhere. And I'm going to pray to the Lord. I said, Lord, take me home. If it means for you just to take me out of this world and bring me on home where you are, for that individual or for my brother to get saved, I'm ready to go. I don't want to sit in my brother's die and go to hell. One I thought was, but praise God he's not. He's in heaven now. You know what it was by?
goes by constant prayer. Because when I first seen him, after I got saved, I invited him to church. And when I invited him to church, and I asked him, I said, Darrell, I said, you know, I don't know if you've heard it or not, but I've saved him now. I'm on the way to heaven. You may not see me no more after this day, but I just want to leave you the word that if you don't, that you can remember one thing, that I left the word with you, that I'm in heaven. And I want you to be there with me when your time comes. And I don't know when your time's going to come, don't know when mine's coming. But I want you to go with me. If I don't have a heart for my family to get saved, then why is anybody going to believe me that I have a heart for that individual right here that just beat his wife half to death and yes, and pulled out the rifle on his family? How can I pray for them if I cannot pray for my own family? And if I cannot speak to my own family about where they're going to end up at? Yes, my own family's going to end up there, but I'm going to end up home a whole lot quicker. I believe that with all my heart and all my soul. I believe that my years will be shortened, and that's the reason a whole lot of the years today has been shortened in individual lives. It's because they say one thing, but you do another. I mean, my wife knows, my daughter both knows I am, but I'd rather see somebody just to say, yes, Lord, save my soul. I went as far as I can go, and I cannot go no farther. I need to be saved today. And you're the only one that can help me. So all we have to do is pray. I've even had people to come up and tell me. I mean, and I know they won't save, because they told me that before, that they won't save. And then I'd have them come up to me and say, preacher, just pray for me. Because I'm praying myself that the Lord will save me. He said, I pray every day. He said, everything that I do, I pray before I do it. I said, well, do you know the Lord is your Savior? They said, no, well, I sure would like to be. I sure would love to know it. Then there's number one prayer that you can pray. And that's what they call a sinner's prayer. That's the only prayer that you can pray. And then after that, after you pray, and after the Lord saved your heart, well, I believe the same way you did. I mean, and I tell them, I say, hey, I've been through that, and I know what you're going through. I know what you're going to say. And I've said it before in my times past. But I didn't have one prayer I could pray. And that was a sinner's prayer. And when I prayed the sinner's prayer, and then I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and to help me day by day to understand. I didn't have to pray after that no more. The only thing I had to do was go to him and talk to him. See, prayer ceases to be when we get saved. Because we don't really pray then. We just understand that we can talk to the Lord now. I can just go to the throne room of God and I can say, God, this is little Johnny again. Here I am.
Now, you know what I need now. But no, what a whole lot of people do. They go out here and they'll find a prayer or they'll listen to somebody. I've heard so many people pray in church that when they pray, that prayer is just about to the T of what the pastor had prayed or what somebody else was in there praying. See, they don't learn the words. They didn't learn the eloquent words. See, that's what Moses was trying to do. Moses was telling God, God, I can't pray. I can't. You want me to go speak? I can't speak. My tongue, it gets all twisted up. And when it comes out, I don't even know what I'm saying. And you want me to go out and do that? It's the only thing I've done. I just asked you to go. He said, but you've got a brother that I know personally. His name is Aaron. All you have to do is just ask Aaron to help you and let you know that you can talk to me anytime you want to talk to me. But it's going to have to be on after I'm saved. Because a prayer is a prayer of repentance, a prayer of being sorrowful in what we've said or what we've done. But for me to go out here and pray, for me to go out here and lead, and I say, Lord, I'm asking you now, you to help me to go somewhere this evening to where I can speak to somebody. And people say, well, that was a prayer life. No. Because that's a commandment from God's Word. Everything that's in God's Word that has God attached to it and has a blessing attached to it, it's not a prayer. It's a commandment. And we are commanded to go and do God's work for Him. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Lord, I'm sorry that, yes, I did go over, and I'm sorry for that. But I am not sorry for just saying what you allowed me to say, Father. But I am sorry for being long-winded. But Father, I pray, God, maybe there's just something maybe in this message, Father, that will touch somebody's heart today. And Father, that they may go out here this week and they may share something with somebody that where the Lord spoke to them about. Father, we help them, Father, that they mind your word this week and they mind your voice. And yes, Father, we do ask, Lord Jesus, that lost sinner would be able to say the sinner's prayer. And if they never say the sinner's prayer, they go end up right where Lucifer's is, where Satan is, where the murderer is, and where they all are. Right there with them. But they're not going to know it. They're going to think to themselves that they're all by themselves because they cannot hear nothing else. Father, I do ask, Lord Jesus, this week or the weeks to come, whenever you decide, Father, for the individual that you want me to be able to, me and my wife get in the car or whatever, Lord, that I can be able to go and visit and just let the people know what all you've done for me and all the blessings you've brought my way. That Father, yes, that they can also believe And they can also have the same blessings. The blessings from you, Father, is right at our lips. If they will just speak the right words with the sinner's prayer, then you will give them more to do than they've ever done in their life before. They'll come up and say, I don't even have time, Lord, to go and do all that this week. I got to work. I ain't got time to do all that. But I'll tell you something. The Lord will make time for you. If you want the time, He will make time for you. He made plenty of time for me. And I've let Him down in the past. And I pray right now from this moment on that I'll never waste another. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these people that love you so much. That, Father, that they allow him to come out and try to be encouraged. And Father, I hope it's something I said would encourage them. Yes, Father, I understand that I'm not really a preacher that really knows your word all that well, but Father, what I do know, that's what I stick with. And when you ask me to stick with something else, I'm going to go with that then, but I'm not going to do it until you speak to me about it. Father, help me, Lord, that I can be a blessing to you. And then, Father, that I'm a blessing to you. And, Father, yes, that I can be a blessing to these dear people here. Father, it's not a thing that I would not do for them. Anything that I can do for them, Lord, help me to do it. And help them, Father, not to be bashful, to just come and ask for it. Because, Father, that's one thing. The Lord, that they'll never hear. They'll never hear me talk about what they said in confidence to me, Father. Because it's in confidence. And that's the only way that I can have their confidence. Is that they know that I'm not going to tell it. Unless they don't mind it. If they want me to just tell them, they just want people just to pray for them, lift them up. That's what we all need to be doing. We don't need to be praying for people that has a hard time and all that. We need to pray for them that yes, they'll give back to God. And yes, they'll give their heart to Jesus if they haven't already. We thank you. And we love you. For on the side of eternity, we ask. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Father. We love you today. In Jesus' name, we ask. Amen. And amen.